Chimica Cafe back in the day, whenever the day was. So anyway, she's living down at Kai Tai now, so if you get down that way, I'm sure she would love a visit. It passed around a couple weeks ago, but not very many people signed it. So I'm going to pass it around again. So if you'd already signed it, like Colleen and I did, and some others, you don't need to sign it twice. But even if you don't know Ellie, you know, it's a great thing to just jot your name down and say, hi, or God bless you, and what's your name? Because let's face it, we don't all know everybody anyway, so...
I certainly
do. Yeah, Ann Wheelock was talking about. Yeah, she does. She really, really appreciates them. So, this is a personal touch. It's a great idea. And Christine was just saying, and Christine, by the way, is the one that does this. Sue Tipton is the one that did the artistry on the front. If you want to pull it off and look at it. It's watercolor, beautiful painting at the church. And Christine's going to start adding our military people on here. So, Zach, we'll start with you. All you really have to do is write your name, okay? So, and then just pass it back. And it goes around all through the service, so try not to be too distracted when it comes by you. In your... there, so much for that. There's the insert in here from the Gideons. Dave Eddy is going to be sharing a video and some information about the Gideons today. And Dan and Carrie Ritzman are here. And they are missionaries to the country of Belgium and part of our church's regular support. And, you know, when we say that we like to believe that we're spreading the gospel all over the world, it's because of these guys that were able to spread it in the Belgian area of the world, and they will talk to you about that. I'm just so pleased that you guys would take the time out of your busy schedule to come and see us. Thank you so much. There's a potluck after the service today, so be sure and check that out. Come eat, even if you didn't bring anything, come and eat. Here's information about Bible studies that we are doing right now in the church. Troy and Melissa have one here that is about to begin Monday at 6:30, beginning April 13th, which is tomorrow night.
It is.
Not a fan. What's it about, Melissa?
It's about being more of a follower of Jesus and not just a fan.
Okay, you know something that's interesting is we call ourselves Christians, but in the New Testament, Christians are referred to as disciples. So what if we just all started referring to ourselves as disciples? Somebody would say, what religion are you? And you'd be like, well, I am a disciple of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, that would put them in the pause, wouldn't it? You just say, well, I'm a Christian. Everybody knows what that means, right? But he knows it means something. Okay, youth group and kids club starts at 3 o'clock, not 3:30. So, I make note of that. Because it kind of just starts when the kids get here. And some of them get off the bus here at a quarter to 2:30. And if there's no one else here, I'm here. And then I have to give all my Tic Tacs away. Join with me, please, in prayer. Father, we just come before you this morning. Father, first off, there's a lot that goes on in our lives throughout the week, throughout every day. On Sundays, Lord, it just seems like, at least for Colleen and I, there's a lot of hustle and bustle and just getting ready to be here. But Father, we're here now, so we can relax, each and every one of us. We've chosen to set aside this time, Lord, for all of us to just focus on you. So, Father, our spirits can rest. We can be glad. Father, there are many things that we are praying about today, and we rejoice in those things. Father, we want to thank you. Gary and Belinda have made their trip to Europe and back. They're here with us this morning. We thank you for that. Thank you for them. We thank you, Father, for how you guided their daughter through the surgery that she had. And thank you, Father, for the healing time that has been minimized. And Father, we just thank you for the medical advancements that you have allowed people to discover. We just thank you, Father, for the diligence of our medical community and all that they've accomplished. Father, we thank you for Dan and for Carrie. We thank you, Lord, that they can be here today. We ask, Lord, your richest blessings on the time, Lord, that they're going to be here. We just pray, Father, that this would be a time, Father, that would encourage and energize them. That their visit here, Lord, wouldn't just be about pouring out information to us, Father, but that they would feel blessed. And, Father, they're only going to feel blessed, Lord, if we reach out and love and care for them. And so, Father, I just pray that you put it in all our hearts to do just that. Pray for Dave as he comes to share his information about the Gideons and the ministry, Lord, that they do all around the world. And the impact, Lord, of just a simply placed scripture and how you can use that. Thank you, Father. Pray, Lord, for all those that have gathered here today. Pray, Father, that you just help us be in tune with you. Father, each of us coming to you from our own angle and our own position, each of us, Lord, with our own backgrounds, our own hopes, our own dreams, our own desires, all converging, Lord, where you are, to help us, Father, to grow in you. Pray this morning, Father, for Justin Douglas, Father, for Hannah's brother, Father, that the cancer that he's been diagnosed with, the doctors say is bad, Lord, that it's really bad. Father, I just want to lift him up to you. Every day, Lord, I think of him so many times a day, and I lift him up to you. But Father, here together, Lord, we can lock arms and lift his name before you. Father, there are many people here today with many different prayer requests, many different celebrations, many different sadnesses. Father, we represent quite a diverse slice of this world. We need help, Lord, with our finances. We need help with our decision making. We need help with our families. We need your help. We need your Holy Spirit, Lord, to abide in our hearts and lead us each and every step of the way. So, Father, we just come before you this morning, just begging you, Lord, to meet us here. Guide us, Lord. Strike the light that shows us the way, that we might walk in it, that you might be glorified. Father, we just want to praise you and thank you for being our Lord and being our God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Ask the worship team if you would please come here to worship you. We just want to thank you, Lord, that we can open our heart. Father, just want to pray that now you help us, Lord, to see, Father, how ministry isn't something that's contrived by the heart of man, but it is something, Lord, that flows from you, from your word for us. Father, we just ask that you bless this time that we have with Dave, Lord, that we could hear what happens, Lord, when a simple Bible is placed. It's not do it, but it sounds simple. But Father, your word is a powerful, uncontainable thing. Pray, Father, you just help us to honor. David.
Power of One. Hal was a riverboat pilot on the Mississippi, the youngest pilot, pretty tough crowd. But somebody had given him a Gideon Bible and he had it in his pocket, and he was stuck with being on duty on Christmas as he was the youngest. I guess he was in his short straw. Being bored, he started reading the Bible. And it suddenly came alive to him, and it started meaning something to him. And so he eventually enrolled in seminary. And of course, Hal Lindsey, you know the rest of the story pretty well. We have come a little closer. We have a guy here in the peninsula who went out to Nia Bay and rented a motel. He was going to commit suicide. He found the Gideon Bible in the drawer. He started reading it and changed his mind, changed his heart. You probably know him as Elton Ross, who's involved with Child Evangelism Fellowship here in the peninsula. God does touch people. And I'm honored here to be here today to represent the Gideons, give you a report of what you have given to the Gideons and what we do. We hand out Bibles to boys and girls, men and women. I feel honored here today because of Betty and Frank Judgens, who I sat in front of for quite a while, and I got to know Frank and his heart, and that and another person, the reason why I got involved in the Gideon work. Just last 2 weeks ago, we were at a distribution up at Fort Townsend High School, and the vice principal in my face telling me to leave, being on the public street. We didn't. They were pretty agitated about us handing Bibles out to high school kids. And yet, the prisons welcome us to come give them Bibles after they've gone astray to try to straighten out their lives. And so, you know, it's kind of ironic in a way. One of the things that we do is that we pay our own way. We distribute Bibles here in the peninsula, Tulalip and Jefferson counties. We have, I think, 40-some churches that support us in all the activities we do. We also put Bibles into medical facilities, into hospitals, into clinics. We recently were able to get into Peninsula College in Port Angeles and distributed over 400 Bibles there about a month ago. As opportunities, we are very excited about just being able to do that. We're a worldwide organization, as you know. We're now in over 200 countries, over 94 languages. And we've given out over 2 million Bibles into China now. Different opening up countries that have been closed. The government finally allowed that to happen, where they were smuggled into China before. And so we, you know, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the Bible is so important. Be able to give people the truth, and you know, it's we, like I said, we pay our own way so that all the money that's given to the Gideons goes to the Bibles. At the table back there were some of the Bibles on them. The book, the light book, is for the kids to be able to take in themselves into the high school, because like Chimicum High School, everything is behind the fence. Cannot get in there anymore. It's closed to us. I was speaking at San Juan Baptist, a couple girls. One was going to Chimicum. They wanted some life books to take in, and I give them to them. One of the gals at saw me there in confrontation with the vice principal, and I thought it was kind of neat that she knew that we were out there walking what we were talking about, and the thinking that the encouragement that she has because of seeing what we're doing was a neat part for me, I guess. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not be poured out of your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, so you may be careful to act in accordance with all that is written in it. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We have these promises. God wants to lead us, but we have to have the word in our heart. What can you do for us? Prayer for us to have the boldness. We are being deliberate sometimes in what we do. And in our Christian life, we have to be that deliberate person that pushes ourselves to do something maybe we're not comfortable with doing, and yet we're willing to go ahead and do that. And I think it's important that we have that type of attitude, I guess, that gives ourselves permission to encourage ourselves. Partly back there also, we also have in our foyer too, is a Gideon card program. If you've never looked at them, just go ahead and look at them and just see what they are. It's a matter of celebrating or sending somebody a message that hey, I donated some money for a Bible in your name. It's a way of being part of the mission work and also encouraging other people. It's there for occasions, or they even have Christmas cards now where you can send somebody a card and greeting and let them know that you've sent a Bible out somewhere, not only here locally, but worldwide. And it's important that we are involved in that. We have Bibles. I've got boxes of them because I get the order of for our camp here in the Olympic Peninsula. But the thing is that we open them, we use them, and we read them. But there's countries where we're still waiting to get enough funds to be able to get enough Bibles to go into some of these countries that have asked for them. So it's a constant need. There's some area you'd like to be involved in. There's now a program that if you want to be involved with Gideon's, not on the front lines, but just a supporter, there's what they call friends of Gideon's now. If there's somebody that wants to be interested in the Gideon work, then I can give you a form to fill out for an application. And it is more than welcome. And so we have a lot of activities going on here in the Olympic Peninsula. We cover all the way from the Pacific Coast, all of Jefferson County, which is water to water, And so we are active group, but we're always looking for new people to work with and encourage one another. I just want to leave you with a video that Sue has for us. That give you an idea of what happens when somebody is converted, and you never know the end result, and it just keeps going. So, thank you.
I was raised in the church. I knew about Jesus. Well, I know about Prince William, too. I don't know him. There's a big difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them, isn't there? I got married right out of high school. It was a bad marriage. We had three children. It ended in 1968. I left Florida, went back to my hometown of Oklahoma City, started looking for work. I found a job illustrating children's reading books, bringing home $65 a week. And of course, that wasn't going to make enough, so I had to work a second job. And I always thought I could sing, but I wasn't sure I could do it professionally. But starvation will give you a lot of courage. So I auditioned and Much to my shock, they hired me. And so there I was, Oklahoma City's new jazz queen. And so I was working two jobs, and it's kind of hard to raise a family when you're never there. I was never home. And my girls began to get in trouble. And it just went on, and it was bad. I sent my son, Tommy, back to his dad, who'd remarried down in Florida, thinking it would just be a short amount of time till I got those girls straightened out. Well, they didn't get straightened out. They went to prison, both of them. And it was a hard time for all of us. Well, some time went by, they got out and kind of went their own separate ways. And by then, I had put a show band together. I looked just like Cher in those days. Can you dig it? And I hit the road with my band. My two brothers got very sick about that time. My oldest brother, Don, was a dentist in Birmingham, Alabama, and he got multiple sclerosis. And my brother, Jim, was a plant manager with Union Carbide, and he got leukemia. And instead of becoming bitter, both of them turned their lives over to Jesus Christ. And they started praying for me. Guess you know what that does. Put me on the holy hit list. And as I traveled, I literally lived in hotel rooms and motel rooms, sometimes 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Guess what's in all those hotel rooms? Bibles, place for the Gideons. Thank God for you, Gideons. And when you're looking for answers, you'll pick those things up. And I was definitely looking for answers, and so I began to pick them up. And of course, we all know the Bible's the only book in the world where every time you open it, the author shows up. And he showed up. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit on the road with a rock man? He was there. Aren't you glad he doesn't care who he hangs out with? Thank God. And so I would open it up, and he'd show up, and he would minister to my heart through the Word of God, quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And that Word began to work in my heart. And I read a scripture in John 3, just below John 3:16, where it said, men love the darkness because their deeds are evil. And that scared me, because for the first time in my life, I realized I was in darkness. And I did not have that light I had been reading about. And that scared me. And that put me on my knees at a Holiday Inn in Owensboro, Kentucky, crying my eyes out. And I asked the Lord to forgive me of all my sins, to come into my heart. And he wasted no time at all. He'd been waiting for that prayer for 38 years. And I got up off my knees, a brand new little baby Christian, didn't have a clue as to what to do next, so I did what I always did, went right back down on the stage. And I got down there and I looked around, and first thing I said was, how come it's so dark in here? It wasn't any darker than it always been. It's just that the light of the world had moved in. And when he crawls up from behind your eyes and he's looking around, nothing looks the same ever again. And the second thing I noticed, this is kind of weird, I loved everybody in the room. I thought, what am I supposed to do with this? I thought, well, maybe a loving thing would be to tell them what I'd learned, which wasn't much, it was more than they knew. So I started telling everybody in the nightclub about Jesus. And that went over like a screen door in a submarine, I'll tell you right now. They really didn't want to hear it. Isn't that funny? The thing we need to hear the most is the thing we want to hear the least. But I couldn't help myself, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that was big in my heart, so that's what came out of my mouth. Well, that got me fired. And that happened in San Angelo, Texas, in August of 1977. And I left my band left a message for them not to ever try to find me, not to look me up. And I went out and got in my car and said a little prayer. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want with me, but from this day forward, you have my undivided attention. I sure had his undivided attention on that cross. And I started driving north. I figured I'd hit Oklahoma somewhere. I didn't know where to go, so I started praying about that. And pretty soon, I started getting this kind of homesick feeling for Lawton, Oklahoma, where I graduated from high school in 1957. I'll wait while y'all count it up. I had no reason to go back there. I had not communicated with any of my classmates in 20 years. My parents didn't live there anymore. But I just longed to look up my best friend in high school, Catherine Stanley. So I got there and I looked her up, and she invited me to come over to spend the night. And as I drove over there, I thought, she's going to think I'm crazy. She's going to ask me what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing here. First words out of her mouth, well, what are you doing here? And all I had is the truth, so I started telling her everything that happened to me, and pretty soon she lets out with a great big, well, praise the Lord, just scared me to death. This is great. I'm going to have all of the ladies in the church come over and meet you in the morning. I said, oh, swell. I was not thrilled. I didn't think I had the clothes to meet the ladies in the church. You know that one? Hello? Well, all I had was tight jeans and a t-shirt with something stupid written on it. It was either that or something wild and glittery that I wore on the stage, and I thought, wonder which one I'll put on. So I found my least tight jeans and my least stupid saying on my t-shirt and brushed out that long black chair hair, came walking out scared to death. And I just stopped in the hallway and said a little prayer. I said, oh, Jesus, please let them love me. Little basic need we all have. So I took the big plunge. I stepped into that kitchen and those ladies turned around and they looked at me, grinning like a bunch of horses eating briars, you know, just. And they just loved me. Thank God. If they ever saw that stupid saying on my t-shirt, they were very careful never let me see their eyes traveling across it. And they came over and put their arms around me and welcomed me into the family of God. And for the first time in my life, I understood what the church was all about. Because Jesus said, they'll know you by your love. And these ladies personified the love of Jesus Christ. And this one lady was so cute, she comes up, I just can't wait to hear you testify. I sit against who? See, my daddy was a judge. I knew what that meant. And they left, and we had a nice time, and I told Kathy, I need to call my kids. And my first prayer after I came to Christ was, Lord, please let me have all my children back. I got my daughter Mindy on the phone and she invited me to come to Greenville and start my new life with her. And so I went to Greenville, found a job, found a church, began living my new life in front of my child. And I blew it sometimes. I'm backslided and blew it sometimes. Nobody has blown it yet. Wow, what a holy group. I bet y'all just glow in the dark, don't you? Nobody has blown it yet. Every day, right? Especially with this. My daughter April came to Greenville, moved in with us, started going to church with us. She gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My son came to live with me. He gave his heart to Jesus. And my granddaughter is now in Connecticut with her husband planting a church up there. And all my children, my grandchildren, all because of some busy men called Gideons placing Bibles in motel rooms. Thank you.